Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Dan Trotter, Pretty Good Bible Studies. I am now in Numbers chapter 21, the last half of the chapter, verses 21 through 35. We're going to look at how Sihon and Og, the two Amorite kings on the east of the Jordan there, are defeated as we move toward Moses' death, which is coming up shortly. Our context is this. Numbers 21, we saw the incident of the bronze serpent being raised up to heal the people who were being bitten by real snakes down there at the tip of the Gulf of Aqaba. What happened? The Israelites had retreated from Kadesh Barnea at the south of the Negev, south of Judah. They had to retreat because of the Canaanites there, and also the Edomites wouldn't let them cross right there south of the Dead Sea. So they had to retreat all the way back to the tip of the Gulf of Aqaba, and then they came back up to King's Highway on the eastern side of the ridge of mountains there, which is to the east of the Arba Valley, and they are heading up toward Moab. And we saw in our last audio that the Amorites had taken over the Moabite territory, which ran from the brook Zered, which is at the southern end of the Dead Sea, to the Arnon River, which is in the middle of the Dead Sea, running east to west. And the Amorites had taken over from the Moabites, and the Israelites had gone all the way up to Mount Pisgah, which is at the top of the Dead Sea, the northern end of the Dead Sea. They had not actually had a conflict with the occupying territories, the occupying power there, Sihon, the king of the Amorites, but they went up to the east of the populated areas there, where the river gorges weren't so deep, and they were provided with water at Beer and so forth. So they're up there at the northern end of the Dead Sea. And now they're going to end up fighting Sihon, but they're going to have to double back to do that a little bit, as we'll see as we take a look at the geography. We start now in Numbers chapter 21, verses 21 and 22. Then Israel sent messengers to Sihon, king of the Amorites, saying, Let me, Israel, pass through your land. We will not turn off into field or vineyard. We will not drink water from wells. We will go by the king's highway until we have passed through your border. Now, Sihon controlled all the area between the Arnon River, which is halfway to the bottom end of the Dead Sea, all the way up to the Jabbok River. And so, even though Israel had gone as far north as the Dead Sea, they still needed to go further before they cut over and cross the Jordan River. And to go further, they would have to deal with the Amorites. So they politely asked, can we pass through? We're going to go by the King's Highway, that King's Highway that ran up north to south, went up to Damascus all the way down to Eilat, and then over to Egypt to the west. We'll stay on the highway. We won't trample down your vineyards. We won't eat your crops. We won't drink water from your wells. Just let us go through. Now, the Israelites asked very politely, just as they had politely asked the Edomites in Numbers chapter 20, verses 14 through 19, and the Edomites said, nope, you're not coming through. Well, the Amorites were just as stubborn. Now, Sihon's Amorites were destined to destruction. They were already mentioned in Genesis 15, 16 in the famous covenant with Abraham chapter, or Abram chapter. Then in the fourth generation, the Israelites, will return from Egyptian captivity. Return here back to the promised land, for the iniquity of the Amorite is not yet complete. So the implication here is very strong. The iniquity of the Amorites is going to be complete. The cup of God's wrath will be filled up, and they're going to get wiped out, which is what happened. Now, the question is why did the Israelites ask to pass, since they'd already basically gotten past Sihon's southern territory all the way from the Arnon River up to the top of the Dead Sea to Mount Pisgah? Well, they're already in Amorite territory, so why are they asking permission? Well, they had to go a little bit further north, as I said, and perhaps Sihon didn't have troops in the south. He's going to in just a minute, but he doesn't have them right now, so that's probably why they asked for permission. They still needed to go further north. They're looking for a straight shot across the Jordan River, and they hadn't gotten a straight shot across the Jordan River yet. They got Amorites in their way. So we go now to Numbers 21, verses 23 through 24. But Sihon would not permit Israel to pass through his border. So Sihon gathered all his people and went out against Israel in the wilderness and came to Jahaz and fought against Israel. Then Israel struck him with the edge of the sword and took possession of his land from the Arnon to the Jabbok, as far as the sons of Ammon, for the border of the sons of Ammon was Jazer. So now, and remember, the Jabbok River runs east to west and runs into the Jordan River. And it's a little bit It's almost halfway up the Jordan River between the Dead Sea and the Sea of Galilee. So halfway up the Dead Sea is the Arnon, and halfway up the Jordan River Valley is the Jabbok, and the Amorites lost all that territory to the Israelites. Now, this battle was fought at Jahaz. Now, Jahaz is south of Mount Pisgah where they are. If you look at the map, Mount Pisgah, which might be the same as Mount Nebo, that's a little bit to the west of the King's Highway. If you go to the east a little ways from there, you hit the King's Highway and go south, you'll see these towns, Medeba and Dibon, which are going to be mentioned. But halfway down to the Arnon River on the King's Highway, if you take a right, or take a left actually, go east, if you take it east, you'll see the city of Jahaz. And so the battle was fought to the south, because that's probably, I would imagine that Sihon circled his troops around the rear of Israel and was going to come at him from the rear, from the south. But at any rate, that's where the battle was. Assuming the map is right, there's no question mark there. That's the only authority I have as far as where everything is. Now, I'm going to read some from BibleAtlas.org. This is the place Jahaz is, where in a great battle, Israel overwhelmed Sihon, king of the Amorites, and then took possession of all his territory. It is probably in a position in the southeast of the Amorite territory. It was given to Reuben by Moses and was one of the cities in the portion of that tribe assigned to the Merarite Levites. So this is just looking ahead to when Joshua divvies up the land. Reuben got it, and then, of course, the Levites had cities scattered throughout the other tribes, and so some Levite cities were there, too. Jahaz is referred to as a city of Moab in Isaiah 15:4 and Jeremiah 48:21 and 34, and there are also some ruins there which people think are Jahaz. BibleAtlas.org does say that no certain identification is possible, so again, this is conjecture, but somewhere in the desert there, at Jahaz, Sihon is whooped. Now, verse 24 says the Israelites took Sihon's land as far as the sons of Ammon, for the border of the sons of Ammon was Jazer. Now remember, the Ammonites had been driven out by the Amorites. Sihon was an Amorite. It's easy to confuse the names. Ammon, that was the traditional territory of Ammon, but they're gone now. Or it could be the Ammonites were still there in between the Amorite king Sihon in the south up to the Jabbok River and the Amorite king Og of Bashan, whose territory started north of the Yarmouk River, leaving that area between the Jabbok and the Yarmouk River. That land could still belong to the Ammonites. I'm not going to bet my life on all this geography. That's the best I can do with the sources I have. Now, so at the Jabbok River, we know where that is, no question about that. It says that the border of the sons of Ammon was Jazer. Now that Jazer, not Jahaz now, we've already talked about the big battle of Jahaz with the Sihon Amorites. This is Jazer. Now that Jazer is not necessarily Jazer because there's textual problems. The Holman Christian Study Bible has it translated this way, only up to the Ammonite border because it was fortified, not Jazer, but fortified. So it's not the name of a place, but it's an adjective that means fortified. The Holman Christian Study notes for that word fortified. Note, the first note says the Septuagint reads was Jazer, so that's where the New American Standard Bible got Jazer from the Septuagint. Note number two, according to the Holman Christian Study Bible, is the Ammonite border was at Az, another unknown place. So who cares? The point is they went all the way up to the Jabbok River, and that was the edge of the Ammonite territory. And I'm assuming the Ammonites have still not gotten conquered yet by the Amorites between the Jabbok and the Yarmouk River. That's what it sounds like here in this verse. John Gill agrees with that. He says the Ammonites were north of the Jabbok River. John Gill goes on further to say that God did not intend to give the land of the Ammonites to Israel at this time. We read in Deuteronomy 2:19, "When you come opposite the sons of Ammon, do not harass them, do not provoke them. For I will not give you any of the land of the sons of Ammon as a possession, because I have given it to the sons of Lot as a possession." So, we go now to Numbers chapter 21, verses 25 through 26. Israel took all these cities, and Israel lived in all the cities of the Amorites, in Heshbon and all her villages. Heshbon, if you look at the map, is right up there at the northern tip of the Dead Sea, good ways away from the Arnon River, and it's very close to Mount Pisgah / Nebo. Again, Mount Pisgah and Mount Nebo, some people say are the same mountain. It's where Moses died. Verse 26, for Heshbon was the city of Sihon, king of the Amorites, who had fought against the former king of Moab and had taken all his land out of his hand as far as the Arnon. I've already talked about the Amorites having this right before the Israelites left on their journey. The Amorites had taken over from the Moabites. Heshbon was the city of Sihon. That means probably the capital, I would think. Now, the cities that lay between the Arnon and the Jabbok that the Israelites took are actually named in Numbers 32, verse 3. The cities were called this, Ataroth, Dibon, Jazer, there's old Jazer again, Nimrah, Heshbon, there's Heshbon, Sebam, Nebo, and Beon, cities which don't mean anything to me or anybody else, I don't think. We do know that the cities were totally destroyed, Deuteronomy 2, verse 34, so we captured all his cities at that time and utterly destroyed the men, women, and children of every city. We left no survivor. Now that shows that the Amorites should have been, just let the Israelites through and nobody would have gotten hurt, but oh no, they got everybody destroyed. Now, of course, the fact that the Israelites destroyed the men, women, and children, it doesn't say that God told them to do it, so maybe they didn't do it at the hand of God, but usually people who bring this up and say, oh, well, God's not just wussy-pussy liberals who think that the people here are such nice, wonderful people that are being wiped out. No, they weren't. They were horrible blasphemers, adulterers, idolaters, you name it, and they were trying to destroy Israel. I imagine after that, nobody messed with Israel, wanted to mess with Israel too much because they wiped out everything in their path. Now, this Sihon that's mentioned here in verse 26, Heshbon is the city of Sihon. It might be a different Sihon because that's the common name for all the kings of the Amorites, but I just don't say that. Let's just say it's the same Sihon. Now, if the Amorites might want to complain about having their land taken from them, remember, they took the land from the king of Moab first, and so they don't really have too many grounds of complaint, as Adam Clark points out. We turn now to Numbers chapter 21, verses 27 through 30. Therefore, those who use Proverbs say, come to Heshbon, let it be built, so let the city of Sihon be established. For a fire went forth from Heshbon, a flame from the town of Sihon. It devoured Ar of Moab, that's the capital of Moab, south of the Arnon River, the dominant heights of the Arnon. Woe to you, O Moab! You are ruined, O people of Chemosh. Chemosh is the Moabite god. He has given his sons as fugitives. Moab has given his sons as fugitives and his daughters into captivity to an Amorite king, Sihon. But we have cast them down. Heshbon is ruined as far as Dibon, then we have laid waste even to Nophah, which reaches to Medema. All right, verse 27, therefore those who use Proverbs say, that's the NASB translation, the NIV and the Hillman Christian Study Bible say, the poets say. I like that translation, those who use Proverbs, poets. So here's a little poetry here, a little song. It's an Amorite taunt song. We're making fun of you Amorites. Come to Heshbon. And this is spoken from the point of view of the Amorites, Sihon. Let's come to Heshbon, that's the capital. Again, that's up there now, Mount Pisgah. Come to Heshbon, let it be built so the city of Sihon be established. So, Sihon goes in there, takes the city from the Moabites, and builds it up and establishes it. And then, verse 28, for a fire went forth from Heshbon, a flame from the town of Sihon. It devoured Ar of Moab. So this is describing the takeover of the Moabites by the Amorites. Sihon's Amorites take over the Moabites, devouring Ar, the capital of Moab, which is just south of the Arnon River. And then the poem mentions the dominant heights of the Arnon because Ar was there at the dominant heights of the Arnon. Those gorges there, the Arnon River, as it flows into the deep Dead Sea. Verse 29, woe to you, Moab, because we Amorites have conquered you. You are ruined, O people of Chemosh, you people who name Chemosh as your god. You're gone. You're finished. We've got your land. He, Moab, has given his sons as fugitives and his daughters into captivity to an Amorite king, Sihon. So Sihon's bragging in this proverb. But now in verse 30, but we, that's the Israelites probably, we have cast them down. Heshbon is ruined as far as Dibon. Then we have laid waste even to Nophah, which reaches to Medeba. And I'm pretty sure that's referring to the Israelites, talking about the cities that have been taken over despite the proud boasting of the Amorites. The Amorites boasting how they had conquered the Moabites, and now the Israelites are boasting that they've conquered the Amorites. Now, it could be that the we there is not the Israelites. We have cast them down. It could be a continuation of the song. We Amorites have cast them, the Moabites, down. Could be. But I don't think so. I think it's the Israelites. Because, I mean, there needs to be some cheerleading for the Israelites. This is actually an Israelite book here, the book of Numbers. So I think that's why it's the Israelites. Let's talk about some of these cities, Dibon, Nophah, and Medeba. If you will look at the King's Highway running up the eastern edge of the populated hill country to the east of the Dead Sea, Heshbon is right there just north of Mount Pisgah, Mount Peor, which we'll talk about in the next audio, where Balaam was, Balak was. But Heshbon is way up there north of the Dead Sea, and you go down the King's Highway, you get right down to right south of the northern end of the Dead Sea is Medeba. You go down even further, and you get almost to the Arnon River, and there's Dibon, passing Jabaz on your east. All those cities were taken by Israel. The verse mentions Medeba and Dibon in the reverse order. Dibon is the further south. Medeba is further north. I don't know why they do that, but they're on the same road there. I did mention in verse 27, the first line of that proverb, that song, Come to Heshbon. That is a poetical way of the Amorites inviting Sihon and his nobles to enter Heshbon to make it the capital city. And in verse 28, it says the flame that came out of Heshbon, of course, that's the destruction that the Amorites were wreaking upon the Moabite population, that flame devoured Ar of Moab. Now, actually, Ar didn't actually fall to the Amorites. John Gill says that Ar was finally taken by the Assyrians, or maybe the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, depending. Gil quotes Isaiah 51, an oracle against Moab. Ar in Moab is devastated, destroyed in a night. Well, Ar was the capital of Moab. Ar stands for Moab, and Moab went down to the Amorites. So poetically, when it says this flame devoured Ar of Moab, it devoured the capital city, it means Moab was destroyed, even though the city might not have been technically taken and burnt. Poetry. Now, there's one other place name here that's mentioned in verse 30, then we, assuming that's the Israelites, have laid waste even to Nophah. Nophah, well, I don't know where that is. BibleAtlas.org says Nophah is also known as Kenath, K-E-N-A-T-H, which is way up there toward the Jabbok River, east and north of the Jabbok River. So I don't know why that would be involved in all these towns in Moab, in the form of Moab, Sion's territory. Why that town will be way up there, so I don't think that that's the same Nophah. So Nophah, as far as I'm concerned, is unknown. All right, we go now to Numbers 21, verses 31 through 33. Thus Israel lived in the land of the Amorites. Moses sent to spy out Jazer, and they captured its villages and dispossessed the Amorites who were there. Then they turned and went up by the way of Bashan, and Og, the king of Bashan, went out with all his people for a battle at Edrei. Now, in verse 31, it says Israel lived in the land of the Amorites. Now, I'm sure that's talking about the Amorites who were under Sihon because they had just conquered all those cities there in the form of Moab. Now, that living shows that this was the beginning of the conquest of the Canaanites because they're not just beating them. They're staying there and setting up tent. This is the first land the Israelites conquered and permanently settled. And later on, when Joshua divvied up the land of Israel, the tribes of Reuben and Gad got portions of this Moabite land, this Amorite land now. Verse 32 says Moses sent to spy out Jazer. Now, I've already mentioned Jazer. That's the word that some translations translate as fortified, so it's not even a city. The BibleAtlas.org map has it way up here going toward the Jabbok River, north, 20 miles north of the northern end of the Dead Sea, approximately. It's got a question mark by it, so we don't know where Jazer is. Moses went out to spy it out, because he's heading north. And they captured its villages and dispossessed the Amorites who were there, again, going up to the Jabbok River. Verse 33, then they turned and went up by the way of Bashan. Now, Bashan is north of the Yarmouk River. The Yarmouk River runs east to west and runs into the Jordan River right south of the Sea of Galilee, so it's pretty far north. The Jabbok River is halfway up the Jordan Valley between the Dead Sea and the Sea of Galilee. So there's that intermediate area there, which I assume is still owned by the Ammonites, the original inhabitants, but doesn't really say how the Israelites got by those Ammonites. In other words, it's a little bit fuzzy here between the Jabbok River and the Yarmouk River. But in any way, they got all the way up to Bashan, the southern border of Bashan, which is the Yarmouk River, and they prepared for a battle with Og, the king of Bashan, at Edrei. If you look at the map, Edrei is right there on the Yarmouk River, going toward the east. where the river is probably pretty shallow, and that's where they had their big battle. Edrei is on the King's Highway. The King's Highway kind of moves further east, goes further out in the desert. It's on its way to Damascus. He goes through Ramoth-Gilead, which is a famous place. And so on the King's Highway, at the Yarmouk River, there's Edrei, and there's a big battle there. Now let's talk about Bashan a little bit. It's mentioned in these verses. That's the area northeast of the Sea of Galilee. That's the easiest way to remember it. Just look at the Sea of Galilee and go east, maybe north a little bit, and there's Bashan. John Gill says of it, quote, it is a, quote, a fine country abounding with oxen and sheep, having rich pastures and very famous for its oaks. It had its name from the mountain of Bashan in it and has been since called Batanea. It was at this time in the hands of the Amorites. Batanea, of course, is what it was called in the New Testament. Jameson Fawcett and Brown says about Bashan, quote, a name given to that district from the richness of the soil, now Batanea, that's what it's called now, a hilly region east of the Jordan, lying between the mountains of Hermon on the north and those of Gilead on the south. Gilead is the Trans-Jordan River, loosely refers to the area just east of the Jordan River, between the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea. And, of course, the Hermon Mountains are way to the north of Israel, going up toward Lebanon. So there's Bashan. Let me read you from the famous Unger's Bible Dictionary about Edrei. And I do hope I'm pronouncing that right. It's a town name, a resident city of Og, king of Bashan, built on a bluff overlooking a southern fork of the Yarmouk River along the southern border boundary of Bashan near the eastern desert. Here Og could watch for invaders from the south or from the east. Moses defeated Og in a pitched battle outside of Edrei, which was then destroyed. That's in Numbers 21, 33 through 35, which we're going to get to in just a minute. The ruins were included in the allotment to the Machir clan of the tribe of Manasseh. That's in Joshua 13. We'll see that when we get there. Edrei is identified with modern Dera, a town of 5,000 in southern Syria, 60 miles south of Damascus, 30 miles east of the Jordan. The site has ruins going back to early Bronze Age times, as well as a remarkable subterranean city of numerous streets, shops, rooms, and cisterns, probably from the Hellenistic or Roman period, and underlying caves in the basaltic rock. Now, that's interesting. That's in present-day Jordan. I'd like to go see that because it's still there, where this big battle with Og of Bashan was. So now let's go to verses 34 and 35 of Numbers 21 and finish up the chapter. But the Lord said to Moses, do not fear him, Og of Bashan, he's talking about, for I have handed him over to you along with his whole army and his land. Do to him as you did to Sihon, king of the Amorites, who lived in Heshbon. So they struck him, his sons, and his whole army until no one was left, and they took possession of his land. Now why did God tell Moses, do not fear him? Well, Og was a giant, and since Og was a giant, Moses might have had cause to fear Og, as John Gill points out. How do we know Og was a giant? We can read in Deuteronomy 3:11 this, only Og, king of Bashan, was left of the remnant of the Rephaim. Rephaim, of course, are the famous giants. His bed was made of iron. Isn't it in Rabbah of the Ammonites? It is, and I'm sure the bed's been lost. It's been lost. It is 13 feet 6 inches long and 6 feet wide by a standard measure. I used the Holman Christian Study Bible to get modern English units. 13 feet 6 inches long. I mean, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar could fit in that bed easy. This guy was a giant, unless of course, the bed was a lot longer than he was, but normally you don't make a bed longer than the person that's going to be in it. 6 feet wide, well, yeah, I sleep in a wide bed because it's nice. You can roll around in it, so maybe the width doesn't mean anything, but 13 feet 6 inches long? The man was a giant. I saw an ad on the internet for the Og of Bashan bedstead. I think that was an ad showing, hey, you want a big one? Here it is. So he's kind of famous for that. But at any rate, Moses and his army wipes out the army of Og till no one was left. We see that in Deuteronomy 3, verses 3 through 4. So the Lord our God also handed over Og, king of Bashan, and his whole army to us, to the Israelites. We struck him until there was no survivor left. We captured all his cities at that time. There wasn't a city that we didn't take from them. 60 cities, the entire region of Argob, the kingdom of Og in Bashan. Now, that may be one reason why this was total warfare, because the Israelites were not equipped to fortify cities. They couldn't leave garrisons in the cities. They just couldn't take the land unless they wiped out their army completely. So basically, from a military point of view, they had no choice. I always have trouble with that. I remember reading about Agincourt. I think it was Agincourt, the famous French-English battle. Henry V had got a lot of French prisoners, and normally they would ransom the prisoners. They wouldn't kill them. There was chivalry, you know, of course. But he got word that the French had regrouped, or they were sending some more troops in, and he didn't have enough men to fight the incoming French troops and to guard the prisoners. So he just ordered all the prisoners killed. I have trouble with that, killing POWs, but he says it was the fortunes of war and necessary, and so nobody held it against him. I want to tell you, war is a nasty business. Well, anyway, Ogg found out it was a nasty business, got his whole army wiped out, and we are now finished with Numbers chapter 21. Next, in our next audio, we will look at Numbers 22 verses 1 through 21. We'll look at this famous incident where Balak, who was in the territory of Moab, he summons Balaam. The last half of that chapter talks about Balaam coming on down to Peor, right there, at the north of the Dead Sea, meeting a donkey that talked at him. Or actually, he was riding on the donkey that was talking to him. And of course, that's a big issue. I can't wait to get to that. But next audio, we'll talk about Balak summoning Balaam in order to destroy the people of Israel. So we'll see you then. Hope you enjoyed this audio.